And then I'm seeing the judge say this to my mother. Well, you have one home, so you all be all right. Like, she should be content because they're taking these other homes from her, that she should be content because you got one home. And I saw my mother fall down and cry in that courtroom, and it devastated me. So as a young man, to see your mother cry and you can't do nothing, there's a sense of rage when you feel like there was injustice done to her.
Welcome to this week's Pastors Forum. Hi, I'm Byron Tyler. Glad you could join us today. Last time, we got together with Bishop Ricky Floyd with the Pursuit of God Transformation Center. Ricky is a homegrown boy.
Yeah.
I want to learn more about that because you told me last week that you went to Craigmont High School, graduated in the mid-80s. You even had a little experience with radio.
I did. We had X88 at Craigmont Radio Station, and I was a DJ, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it, so I'm envious of you right now, seeing you walking in your glory.
It's great to meet people like you. That's what excites me most, is to be able to share, especially in Christian broadcasting, having the opportunity to let God's stories be told.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, the countless people I've met, the testimonies that are shared of what people have done through faith in Christ and what God is, you know, accomplishing through their work to build his kingdom.
Right.
And specifically here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Because I love this town.
I love this city, too.
It's a great city. Yeah. It's one of the best cities in America.
Yeah.
I like it because we're not too big and we're not too small.
Absolutely. If you want a country life, you can probably drive 10 minutes and be in front of some cows. Huh?
That's right. You know, we first bought our first house, which was like a little zero lot line house in the early 90s in Bartlett. Of course, Bartlett has really exploded there now. But at that time, there was, across a railroad track, there was a big field. In the morning, I could hear cows mooing, you know.
And that's all
in the 90s. In the 90s. That's all developed now. And there's, you know, homes there. Yeah, so you're right. My son at one time had a motorcycle, and Saturday mornings while he was sleeping late, I would hop out there on that bike and drive out to Fayette County, you know.
Wow.
And just enjoy great rides at different times of the year when the cotton was, you know, in full bloom or the springtime, the fall, didn't matter, you know. Just get in the way and a little cruise time.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about my experiences on the motorcycle. Growing up here, tell me about your family. What area of town did you grow up in?
Well, I was literally born in Tunica, Mississippi, to a mother who had just turned 16 years old. She was the stepchild out of 13 children. And if you ever seen the movie Color Purple, it reminds me kind of how my mother was raised up and rejected and abused. So a lot of times now I tell her, I don't know how she maintains sanity with all the stuff she went through. You know, there's a statement that says the quickest way out of poverty is marriage. And that really happened for me and my mother. She was about 17-year-old walking the streets of Memphis, trying to do her best to survive. Only had an eighth grade education. And some people saw her walking down the street with me, had my face greased up, had me clean, everything. And they had a nephew that just got out of the army. And they said, we want you to meet our nephew. My mother met him. He came to the house. She cooked him a chicken dinner. He ate all of the chicken. My mama said, you got to marry me because that was our last meal for the week. That chicken was my, this is literally true. And they got married 2 weeks later. So we moved from kind of a poverty-stricken neighborhood to lower middle-class neighborhood. They've been married almost 50 years now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That marriage has actually lasted that long?
Yes.
What a great story.
We moved from the Riverside area, which is now literally classified as a gang neighborhood, to the Pine Hill area by Pine Hill Golf Course. And then when I was in the 10th grade, we moved out to Raleigh, and that's how I ended up at Craigmont High School. So it was literally a culture shock because I went from Southside, which was 100% African-American, and then went to Craigmont at the time, which was about 85% white. So I experienced a culture shock.
You really did.
Yeah.
So you felt loved. You felt secure as a child.
Well, let me say this. My mother loved me the best she knew how to love. You got to remember, my mother had never experienced love. I'm probably the first source of love that my mother had ever experienced in her life. So for her, I replicated love. My stepfather was one of those guys, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to put food on the table, and I'm going to go to work. So there was no ball playing, no hugs, no affection. My parents were great providers. We always had home. We always had clean clothes. We even had material things, the go-karts. But as far as hugging, loving, words of affirmation, I believe in you, come here, give me a hug, I did not experience that. So I experienced the love that they knew how to give because both of them had experienced so much lack that to them, provision was love. And you know, the book, The Five Love Languages, a lot of times what we give as love to our children is the thing that we were deprived of and wish that we had. Yep. So it was a home of provision, but the kind of love that I think I need, which was words of affirmation and quality time and daddy going to a ball game, I didn't get that.
Well, when you were in school, what type of activities did you get involved with?
You know, I was on the debate team. I was, believe it or not, a soccer player. Start on the soccer team. I made the basketball team, but I always worked, man. So when I made the football team and the basketball team, so when time me to go to work, I said, Coach, I got to go to work. He said, no, you work or you play sport. You can't do both of them. So I started working probably at the age of 15 jobs and have worked all my life. Yeah.
Similar to story because I grew up in a single parent home.
Yeah, I heard you said 14.
You started at 14. Yeah. I wanted to work. I wanted some money, you know.
Right.
And so I went to work as a busboy.
Right.
Great memories. Even though you can look back at some of our life and things, everything wasn't perfect and things were tough. I didn't grow up in a Christ-centered home by no means. But there was still protection. There was still care. Mm-hmm. She worked hard. So I knew I was loved.
Yeah.
I did know that.
Right.
So after high school, what were your dreams? What did you want to do? Where was the point when Christ became a reality in your life?
Wow, man, that's a good question. You know, I remember I had always had the love for Christ. I think that I just didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anyone to grab hold of me and disciple. Even in high school, I would go to church with my friends and I would be a worshiper. I'd be into the word. I always had the gift of galvanizing people together for a cause. And in high school, I had a fraternity that was a multicultural. It had people that were on the honor roll to athletes, to some people that we were trying to pull out of gang. So I always had the gift of bringing people together, diversified. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even though I had the desire for Christ, I would go to church. I'd be the one that had the hand lifted up crying all the time. All my other friends would be leaning over looking. What's wrong with Floyd today? But it was not a sad. It was a gratitude. I didn't even understand what worship really meant. But now that I look back, I was always a worshiper. I was always the older men in the church would just look at me and say that he had a call on his life, that they could see that. Bitterness came into me when I was probably around a senior in high school. And I became a racist. I left Christianity, wanted nothing to do with it. And then, ironically, I'm going to preach at his birthday party. A guy named Apostle Bill Atkins came up with a gospel that was called, that time was called an Afrocentric gospel. You're in radio, you probably know Bill Atkins.
Oh, yeah. Longtime radio history in Memphis.
He came up with what he called an Afrocentric gospel. It was the bait that I needed to pull me out of Islam. I had went over to Islam.
Did you really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And was about to have my name converted to a Muslim name. Bill Atkins came, Apostle Bill Atkins came with his Afrocentric gospel. It pulled me back out of the confusion that I was in, gave me back an identity. And the interesting thing now is he says he can't even teach that Afrocentric gospel anymore. He can't teach it. But it was what I needed. God loved me so much, and he didn't want me to go to hell. He had him to come up with a specific bait designed to pull me out and to bring me back over to the kingdom of God.
What was it that caused you for that period, as you talked about leaving the values of Christ and then you started being hatred in your heart? Was somebody racist against
you? It was a multiple, a series of racism things that happened to me. My mother, who again had about an eighth grade education, but she was very hardworking woman. She'd work 20 hours a day if she had to. But at the age of 28, my mother had accumulated with my dad, and she had accumulated three homes. So her not being able to read real well, she took out a loan on two of the homes and missed, I think was like less than 30 days late, and a company took those homes from my mother. And I remember standing in the courtroom, and here's where my mind was at that time. I'm saying, you know, the devil will dictate your thoughts. I'm seeing a white judge, I'm seeing this white company, and I'm seeing a white lawyer, and then I'm seeing the judge say this to my mother, well, you have one home, so you'll be all right. Like, she should be content because they're taking these other homes from her, that she should be content because you got one home. And I saw my mother fall down and cry in that courtroom, and it devastated me. So as a young man to see your mother cry and you can't do nothing. There's a sense of rage when you feel like there was injustice done to her. And then in high school, 85, and you probably were there, we're seeing the race between, I feel like some people were cheated out of positions and stuff. And the enemy will plant you just enough that you need to dictate you go the path that he wants you to go. And now that I look back, I see that that's what that was. Because perception becomes reality to the perceiver. And whatever you perceive, you will begin to draw more experiences in it to confirm your insanity. You know, now I can look back and that's what I saw that was happening. And so, again, Apostle preached the gospel to pull me out of that. Now I'm just excited and God is using me to restore racial reconciliation in this city now.
What a story. And, yeah. You know, as you talked about, the power of the gospel is what really did that for you.
Yeah.
It has to be Christ.
Yes, it has to be.
Well, there is no black, white, you know, we're related to each other by the same color blood.
Yeah.
And it was his blood that his unites blood. Us.
Yeah. And I went on a pursuit. When I say I went on a pursuit, Rosicranian, Islam, Scientology, Buddhist, Jehovah Witness. And that's why now no one cannot persuade me that Jesus Christ is not Lord. I am fully persuaded. I did a circle, and I'm back where it all began, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Wow, what a great story, Pastor. And, of course, we talked last week. We introduced your son, who had just celebrated his 18th birthday last week. Is he your only son?
Oh, no, he's my baby boy. I've got two sons. So I got an older son and who will be having my second grandbaby, and I've got a middle daughter. So I tell everybody I got a combo package. I got a wife and a five-year-old son. So when I married, I got a package deal.
Family time, when the Floyds are just kicking back, what do you guys like to do?
We love movies and we love laughter. Those are two of the things that we love doing. I'm kind of the cook at the house, so my wife, she's not a cook. It's funny, when the children were younger, they would say, who's cooking, mom or dad? And they say, dad. Everybody go, yay, who's cooking, mom? Mm. So those are things we enjoy, cooking, movies. One of my greatest testimonies is that all of my family is in my ministry and without their arms twisted. Everyone plays an active role in some particular department. And that's one of my greatest testimonies and joys.
Wow.
That I can look around and my children beat me to church and they leave after I leave.
That's a great story. Yeah. Okay, so do you have a specialty when you're in the kitchen? Something you really like to cook up?
They love my stir fry. I'm the stir fry and they love my baked grilled salmon is what they love.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My boys, and I've got three sons, they like my fried chicken strips.
Oh.
Can't tell you what I do. I just throw a little bit of this and that in there, and you know, and they say
it's
Dad,
the love. It's the daddy's love.
I guess that's what it is, you know. But I like to spend some time in the kitchen too. Although I will say my wife is a better cook than I am.
Yeah. You're blessed.
Well, Pastor, our time on this program is going away, and I've just been having a great time today. And of course, last week, as we visit with Ricky Floyd with the Pursuit of God Transformation Center, two locations, one heart in our city. The location in Fraser, and then, of course, downtown close to the pyramid. Is there a website?
Yes. ThePursuitOfGod.org is our website. We also have a Facebook page, The Pursuit of God Church in Memphis. Ricky Floyd, my Facebook page, which is very active.
If somebody wanted to call the church, maybe had a prayer concern, what number could they call?
You can dial 901-353-5772. That's 901-353-5772.
God bless you. Thank you, Ricky, for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom and our community. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for giving us a vehicle to blow the trumpet on.
Friend, this past 2 weeks, we've had Ricky Floyd with the Pursuit of God Transformation Center. Our pleasure to host him these 2 weeks, and I hope you'll pray for him and his family as they continue to do kingdom work in our community. God bless you. Thanks for listening. That's all the time we have this week. I'm Byron Tyler. Hey, we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.